I'm thrilled to be here, and at this stage of my life, to be a father in the faith is a real privilege. The blessing is to see sons raised up for the glory of God, and my ministry now, I have about 10 young youth pastors and pastors who were my kids in youth group for years, and what a privilege it is for me to have, to return to them and to see them blossoming and moving on in God. And it's a real thrill every time I think about Tony Balsamo and the tremendous memories that I have of him growing up, him being in youth group, that whole great opportunity that I had to serve here on Long Island for many years in Port Jefferson. So it's great to be here. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us a word about his heart as a father. And to embrace the Lord's word this morning, I just pray that you would be open to receive from him a fresh impartation of his love. You know, we sang that song, "There's Still Hope for Me Today, for the God of Heaven Still Loves Me." The Father that we love and adore in the Godhead has loved you from the very, very beginning. The Father of us all has been searching for every one of his lost children throughout time. When Adam and Eve broke away from him, he never lost sight of them, although they lost sight of him. And for generations throughout the Old Testament, he looked for a people to call his own. He was always seeking to bring his family back. He was always looking for his lost children. He wanted his kids back in his home. He wanted to have a family. He wanted to have a people. And that he would send kings and prophets and the word. He would continually reach out through them to return to him. And they continually would run no matter how good he was to them. And, we lose sight of the heart of the Father of the Trinity. At times, we think of the old man in the sky. We don't understand this heart of this incredible Father who greater than any father that we know has never given up on finding us all, the lost ones, returning the children to him for eternity. He's got this heart for each one of us. He loved us so much that he gave the Son. The incredible love that a father sacrificed the Son can only be known by fathers who have lost sons. The amazing sacrifice, the amazing love that he had, that he said, "They're not listening to me, my son. Would you go show them my love?" And Jesus put the face on God. Jesus made us understand the Godhead. He showed us the incredible love of the Father. So many of us can fall in love with Jesus and miss the understanding of it's the love of the Father that he shows us. It's the Father's heart he shows us. It's the redemption of mankind that the Father sent them on the mission. Redeem them, my son. Bring them home to me that they would spend eternity with me. For Jesus obeyed the Father. He said, "I don't do anything on my own, believe me. Everything I do because of my Father. I don't even speak the words that I speak. Everything I speak because Dad, that's what Dad says to me." The heart of God, the Father, to embrace each of us and to love us. And Jesus showed us that incredible love that God the Father has. Some people want to believe in Jesus only. They don't want to see the Trinity. They don't want to understand the beauty of God the Father. The Jews couldn't understand the Father's love. They rejected the Jesus of the Trinity. And now the Spirit's been poured out upon all flesh. And the Holy Spirit now bears witness of him. It bears witness of Jesus, but it bears witness of the heart of the Father saying, "In you would you be a witness to my lost children that all of them would come home?" We receive the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, temples of the Holy Ghost, that we might bear witness of the Christ who bears witness of the Father, that we would understand the love that the Father has for each one of us, that every one of us are made in the image and likeness of the Father. So much is said throughout the Word of those wanting to know the Father. And it's always been a difficulty. Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus. And Jesus said, have I been with you? Haven't I been with you enough, Philip, that you would understand? If you see me, you see the Father. The heart of God has always been crying out for the people. And the beauty of eternity is that we are redeemed from the curse of sin, returned to the Father's garden in the perfection of it for a lifetime, for eternity, for the infinity of time. The beauty of God's message. I mean, I'm a father of four children. If one's lost, I'm panicking. Where are they? What do you mean they're lost? Somebody help me, please. Somebody talk to my kid. He's lost. Paul, if you see my kid, you have a way with kids. Will you do me a favor? He's not right now. He's thinking crazy. He's doing things that his mother and I don't approve of. Paul, would you speak to my kid? Would you tell my kid that he could turn around? We don't want them lost. We want them found. We want them to be loving. We want them to be restored. And that's the heart of my God. That's the heart of the Father. The beauty of the Father, the beauty of the Son, the beauty of the Spirit now in all of us. Because Jesus said, hey, listen, it's better, it's to your advantage that I go. Because if I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. Because Jesus recognized, my Father doesn't just want a few. He wants everybody home. And you 12 can't do it by yourself. The Spirit's got to be poured out upon all flesh that they might be witnesses and prophesy. And the prophecy is the testimony of Jesus according to Revelation. And so we're impacted by the Spirit of God to be witnesses to find the lost. So that the Father would have the desire of his heart that the whole, everything is wrapped around. Bring my kids home. I want my kids home. I love that about my Father. I cry sometimes, Lord. I don't like the idea that my daughters now are married to men. They're great guys. Tremendous guys, but I'm better. You know, stay with Dad. Stay with me. You know, they take me out to dinner and then I see them walking away to their car and I go, where are you taking her? I want her to stay with me. And the Father says, that's my heart, do you understand? I want my kids with me. I want them with me, never going to leave me. And I said, I wish I could have that, Lord. And he says, you can have that. They will be with you forever with me. And you will be with them. And you will have that burning desire in your heart. Because that's my heart, says the Father. Show us the Father and it will be enough. The book of 2 Kings, there's a great story of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha found the Father in Elijah. He saw something in Elijah that he wanted so bad. Elisha cried out to Elijah, I want to be with you. Elijah would say to him, you can't come with me. Stay here. And he said, no, I'm coming with you. No matter, he couldn't get rid of him. He saw something in Elijah that he wanted. It came about that Elijah said to him that he would be taken up, and he was going to be taken up. And if Elisha saw him taken up, the double portion of the anointing that Elijah had would be put upon him. So we find in 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 9, it says, now it came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall be not be so. And it came about that as they were going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Here's Elisha standing there seeing Elijah being taken up. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, My father! My father! And the chariots of Israel and its horsemen, and he saw them no more. He took hold of his own clothes and he tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, struck the waters. And where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there. The spirit of Elijah had now rested upon Elisha. But the cry of Elisha, the cry that I hear in the world today is, my father, show me. Father, where are you, my father? And there's a tremendous heart cry for us to find our identity in Father God. To find our identity through the natural fathering and mothering and authority structures of our day, to find ourselves and to find who we are and to be recognized and to be affirmed by Father. I want to be blessed by the Father. I want to leave this earth blessing my children with blessings, not curses. I want to impart to them that which is holy. I don't want to even give them what is good. I want to give them what is godly. I want to bring them to that place of seeing God in me, the hope of glory. We miss it at times. We can't find our value. We can't find who is man. Why is God? What's the value of my life? What's the purpose of my being? Because so many of us have been interfered with and can't find the reality of God the Father because we've been messed with on the natural level by authorities, fathers, mothers, the dysfunction that's out there, the perversion of the world, the flesh and the devil, just whacking man's authority figures, causing so much dysfunction so that man can't find himself. There's no continuity in the generations. There's no movement of integrity building upon integrity. Holiness upon holiness. We've got such an up and down swing that people can't find the legitimacy of moving in the godly generations. And there's a cry in the streets for Father. In the book of Matthew, it's amazing to see the beauty of the Father in affirming even the Son. As he comes up out of the waters of baptism, Jesus the Christ, the only Son of God, comes up out of the waters of baptism, obedient to the Father, and the heavens open, and you hear the voice of our Heavenly Father. He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Father affirms and recognizes the Son. How Jesus, in the natural part of him, would just receive that and with a full understanding in his humanity. How we would love to hear God the Father. We would love to hear even on our natural fathers, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Son, you've done good. Son, I'm so proud of who you are, not what you do, but who you are as a man, my daughter, how you have grown and matured as a woman of God. How I affirm you and I recognize who you are." How we so much want to hear that and have that recognition. But we are interfered with, and I want to share with you a couple of thoughts this morning. That the Lord that loves you is greater than these natural interferences, even that you have received in your lifetime by the failure of mankind. In the book of Samuel, chapter 16, if you have your Bible, you could turn there with me. Samuel chapter 16. We can get so stuck in being limited in our potential to understand that mankind can fail us, but God can intervene in such a way and translate that failure into a trophy of amazing grace. If we will let him, if we will move from yesterday's failures to the promises of our day, if we would allow God to touch us in such a way to redeem us from the curse, to receive the blessing, that there is within each of us a kingship, a sonship with God the Father, that we would be capable of walking under the authority of God in such a way that, you know, you look at this wedding that's coming up in, with Prince William. He walks with such an authority, but his blood is not the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of a heritage. And yet he thinks he's somebody. To how much more should we walk because the blood of the Lamb has washed us, and now we are the sons and daughters of God, that we would walk with our heads held high, understanding that there's an inheritance that's greater than all of the jewels of England awaiting us. And we walk hunched over. We walk like we've been beaten up, when the Father has promises to us that outweigh anything that we've ever lost. And God speaks to Samuel about Saul, and he says, this guy is not doing it. I'm going to send you to Jesse. He has sons. And he will bring a sacrifice, and I will show you the one who is to be appointed. So we look at Samuel chapter 16. In verse 5 it says, and he said, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And then it came about when they entered that he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to him, don't look at the appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God does not see... sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And he failed to see the... He was going to pick somebody, but God said, no, don't get attracted by the outward. I'm looking for the inward. And Jesse brings out all of his sons. And the Lord doesn't approve of any of them. And Samuel says to him, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your children? He said, there remains yet the youngest. Behold, he's tending the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. And now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Here we have an opportunity for a father to bless his son, but the son is the least among them. He's the youngest one. He doesn't get too much recognition. Jesse doesn't call him in immediately and say, hey, come, Samuel, the prophet is here. He's looking to anoint. I want all my boys here. You're all equal in my sight. I love you all. He kind of doesn't recognize David. And the father, the failure to... do you have that PowerPoint somehow? The next one. Recognition. How we all want to be recognized. And here we have David is not being recognized by his father. David's destiny is actually being blocked by the way others perceive him. He's being limited. Instead of the father encouraging, bring my youngest in as well. He blocks the path of the blessing. So many times people get in our way of the blessing. They've limited us through parental authorities or parental figures. The others are more dynamic than you. The other kids, you're just like me. And we don't realize the words that capture the minds of our children who, as Tony said, look to a father or mother or the authority figure to show us the way. There's so much more received by impartation than by teaching. I teach at the Bible College, and I speak to youth pastors who are getting ready to go and become ministers. And I say to them, you're going to forget what Pastor Tony has taught you. But don't forget the passion of my heart that you go out and get these kids and you touch their lives. And you have pure clean hands and pure hearts because you're going to open their hearts and touch their hearts with the love of God. Don't take it lightly. Don't forget the passion, the impartation of a father. David must have thought, "Hey, Pop, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me in? Am I not a favorite of yours?" The father didn't choose him as king. Have you been overlooked? Have you been minimized? Have you been recognized by your natural father? How can you not see me, Lord? How can you not see me, Dad, as have potential? There's so many struggling to find that a kind of approval in a very natural way because they've never been recognized. And maybe they never will in the natural. And that's got you covered. And you're small. And you don't realize the king that's in you. You don't realize who you are. You don't realize who your father is. That you came through your parents, but not from them. He had a design and a purpose for your life. And if you could see with eternity's eyes, that's your father. Oh my goodness, when Jesus Christ reveals to us the Father, it's so amazing. So here we have David who can't find a father to say that he's okay. He's been overlooked. Does he have the acceptance of the Father? It would have been better for David to be brought out and rejected by the prophet than by his dad. It would have been better. It wouldn't have hurt as much. It wouldn't have damaged him as much if the prophet said, you're not the one. But my father said, I'm not the one. He didn't even think of me as being the one. Ignored, forgotten. Don't you understand the power of the father? Don't you understand the power of a mother? Do you understand the power of authority in the life of a child? Such a cry for father's help when father is the problem. So many looking. We're looking, but we're looking in a natural way rather than lifting our vision to understand who your father is and what he has a plan for your life that no man can thwart unless you allow it to keep you down. Why didn't he choose me? Was there some bias? Is he prejudiced? Why didn't he accept me? And so many people have such difficulty with this. So what does David do? He even after he's anointed, he finds himself out. He's throwing rocks at bears and lions. Just waiting. So many people struggle in grabbing hold of who they are. and don't realize that how accepted they are in the Beloved, that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He wanted to find you so badly that now he's poured out his spirit upon millions and billions of people who love him that are trying to communicate. The Father loves you. And he wants you back. And you need to be restored through the cross of his son. It's the only redemption that will bring you home to him. It's the only way the sin that interrupted Adam, that put him out of the garden, can be redeemed. It's by blood, not the killing of a lamb or a dove. It's by the blood of one who was perfected in mankind. Humanity's perfection in Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And all of us who are born again, filled with the power of the Spirit of God, want to speak that, be a witness to that. But we can't find our recognition. We can't find our acceptance. We're limited. And we want so much that we want our relationship with God the Father. We want a relationship with the Father. The relationship with that figure is the most important relationship that enables us to be thrust into the world with such confidence. That's why peer pressure plays such an important part upon our young girls and young boys. They're not secure in who they are. I just spoke to kids this past week, teenagers from the hood. I mean, they were so devastated. They were so broken. I knew some of their stories, every one of them having never seen the father, saw the father killed. You know, the father's in jail, just whacked out this generation of kids. And they're looking for a relationship. They'll accept it from the gang. Tell me where I belong. Tell me I belong to something. We fail to realize that the Father wants a relationship with us for eternity. He wants a relationship with us now. That when Jesus comes into our life, he shows us the Father. And it should be so settling to know that's my dad. I was made in his image and his likeness. I have this nose of the Italian heritage I have. But it's that which is within me and who I am and the integrity of my character in which I am to live my life is that of my Heavenly Father. I can only pray that you've had fathers that have shown you that in their inadequacies. But some have damaged us. Devastated us, and we have adults that are still so small. So they succumb to peer pressure. Young girls, devastated. More pregnant teenage girls come out of a single parent household because they're so vulnerable. They want this. They want to be accepted. They're looking for love, and the wolf is eating them up in their woundedness. And God the Father is saying, I'm here for you. I want to relate to you. So they succumb. And they're succumbing not out of desperation. They're succumbing out of a place of trying to belong. They want to belong. It's not out of weakness. Excuse me. It's out of desperation to belong. They want to belong. They want to be accepted. They want to be loved. And anyone who says to them, yes, this is where you fit. This is where you fit. You fit right in with this gang, this clique, this group. You fit right here. You feel like, okay, I have a relationship now. They want a relationship. And that's the beauty of your Christianity. The God, the Father, he's all about relationship. Yes, you should know your brother's and sister's name. Yes, you should know who sits in the pew with you or next to you and comes to church every week. And this is the family of God. It's to be relational. This is the heart of the Father. You know, this the beauty of coming in here and saying, oh, okay, you could have that relationship in the natural, but if you recognize who's behind this, it's because Pop is saying, hey, your brothers, get to know one another. I mean, at the Italian table, we're sitting across from the pasta, and my father's saying, hey, speak to your brother. What do you mean you don't like your brother? You talk to your brother right now. Get it right now, because that's your brother. Don't talk about your uncle. I don't want to hear about talking about your uncle. That's your uncle. You know, that kind of heart of God, the Father saying, hey, come on. Love on one another. Be an example to the world, Integrity Christian Fellowship. Show this Long Island what it means to be alive in God. Have a relationship with one another. It all comes to that, the beauty of the presence of God. Do you understand the beauty of the Holy Spirit is that He's present with us always? That God says, even if your mother and father forsake you, I will lift you up. That the Holy Spirit is ever present right now. That He will never leave you or forsake you. That God the Father wants to be with you all the time. All the time. Not only in the kingdom of heaven, but in the kingdom of the now. For those of us that love God. So many kids never found that. So many criminals never found the King inside of them. Somehow they must have known, I'm destined for something. I feel like it, but I'm so stunted. I've never been recognized. I've never been accepted. David must have known this. He must have known his own potential beneath his mediocrity. He must have known, I'm destined for something. I got to get through it. God's got to intervene. My father doesn't recognize me. My father doesn't accept me. But God the Father intervened by Samuel and brought a fresh anointing. The Father's heart, that even if man doesn't reveal it to you, He will. He said to Peter, this amazing man of Scripture, who did they say I am out here, Peter? And he said, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. But who do you say I am? He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says to him, you're flesh and blood, Peter. Your own flesh and blood. Your own family members. Your own father and your own mother. Peter, your own flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. See, you were stunted, Peter. You didn't know who you are. You thought you were a little pebble. I called you Peter, a rock. I'm changing you, Peter. Thou art Peter. You see, but silver and flesh and blood, they couldn't do this. Only my Father in heaven is greater than your flesh and blood. Man, I'm so grateful I'm not tugged to my flesh and blood. That was so criminal. They were so criminal. They were so whacked out. So lost just a generation ago. So perverted. Their godfather was totally different than my godfather is now. And they thought they had found the godfather. Some of them were actually godfathers of different areas. How sick, how perverted, but yet how close they were to understanding truth. But the counterfeiter came and twisted, and they were lost. I'm so glad I've been found. Amen. I'm so glad I'm part of the heritage of the Godfather of heaven. That I'll have a relationship forever. That he intervened on my behalf. But if you've never been recognized, if you've never been blessed, if you don't recognize who you are, everything, every idea you ever had, that's foolish. That's stupid. That's a dumb idea. That, so you never dream anymore. You lost your dreams. You've given up. You've compromised your character. How can I become something great? I belong to them.
Look at the screwed up life they lead, so, and they've led. And so why shouldn't I be whacked out? And then we're stuck and we don't see it. And we're out feeding sheep. Nobody's recognizing. Nobody's accepting us. And God the Father, who loves you so much more, says, today I sent the Italian from the Bronx to touch you and say to you, I anoint you with kingship. God put Samuel in the life of David to bring forth his creative destiny. To be able to come forth today with a new understanding that you are recognized by God. He knows exactly where you are. Exactly where you are. I just finished reading this book called Heaven is Real by Todd Burpo. He's a pastor whose little boy saw heaven. He was 3 years old, 4 years old, went into appendicitis bursting, and this little kid was taken into heaven. It's a great book. And the father didn't know this until little questions started happening, and the son, little boy, started talking about heaven and saying things that were like profound. And one of the questions that it was Easter time, and Todd was talking to the little boy, and he said, when you were in heaven, did Jesus ever talk about dying? He said, oh, yeah. He said, what did he say? He said that he died so that all of us could see his dad. Jesus died so we, you know, the father, what a bum rap. Everybody, you know, he's a mean God. All the stuff in the Old Testament, you know. Jesus, it was such a simple answer to this little boy. He said he died so that we could see his dad. That Jesus redeemed us from the curse that looked upon him as maybe being selfish or cruel, or not loving. And he opened us up to the beauty of our Father. Oh, that we would see him today. That we would know I belong to him. So skewed today, so challenging for people and kids and young people to understand the love of the Father. But today I pray that if you're somebody and who needs that, just a fresh touch, and a lifting up of your vision higher, and that you would know that the anointing of the Lord is here to release you into your destiny. That you can dream again. That you can receive all that God has promised for you. I would love to be one to pray with you as well as your pastor. You are accepted in the Lord. And the Father has great love for you. I'm going to ask Pastor to come, and then I'm going to come back and we'll have a time of prayer together.